Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your host right here, Rob Michon. I'm Hunting Out Loud with Rob and Cody. And today we're going to attempt to talk to John Workman. And y'all know how that goes. You've been keeping up with us. So thanks for coming over, John.
Hey, you're welcome, buddy. Thanks for having me.
So anyways, you just tagged out, what, about a week ago or so?
Yeah, last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, 13th. 13th. I got lucky and everything fell together that evening.
And so, anyways, just the local guys around here, that early season, I mean, how long have you been hunting the early season? I've only been hunting really for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you really don't want to know.
Long time?
3 years.
Well, that's the way I am.
I killed my 3 biggest deer in the last 3 years.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you sick?
Oh, it does.
Because we're probably pretty close to the same age.
Yeah, I'm 40. I just turned 40 September 2nd.
We're pretty much the same age. And I think back, if I would have been hunting that early season.
Oh, yeah.
Back. Of course, I don't know how long it's been coming in this early, really.
It's only been, that's probably, 6 years now?
Oh, 6 years. So we haven't missed
like
a lot.
That. No, we haven't. I know 2014, I had a swarper on camera, and I'd never hunted early, and I didn't want to hunt a heat. Now, I mean, I talked myself out of it, and I never did kill it.
Yeah.
Because and now, after I finally started hunting this early season, I was like, I mean, I know I could kill that deer now.
Yeah.
But I like it. I mean, it's hard. It's hard because of the heat, but yeah. I love it.
Well, you know, we've been preaching about it. John, you've been over here for some of the other podcasts. And, you know, it ain't nothing to us. We're all going to hunt the early season.
Yeah.
And I know 9 or 10 of us have been successful just around here in this little area.
You know, I wouldn't say our group. You know what I mean? But, you know, the little core that we have, you know, that
people we know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all of us.
Have been pretty successful, had your chances.
I think Kyle has now taken pictures for 8 people.
8 or 9.
And I know he didn't take Cody's, so that was another one. And I mean, it's really been a good early season, too.
Yeah, and that's what we was preaching before the season even started, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've heard some of the other guys, some of their tactics of taking the early season bucks. I mean, what's your key to taking early season bucks? Let's hear it.
You know, somebody asked me today, a young kid down to football game I just come back from. He asked me, he said, how you do it? I said, I get out in May. You know, when you could get out a little earlier, which I put my minerals out. I'll put my minerals out here in the next month for the winter for them, and then I'll refresh them in the spring. But as far as finding my deer, I wait till they actually start developing. You know, there's no need in going out there and, you know, chasing a nub. But once they start developing early May, I get out there and hang cameras and feed and just move it around until I find where the big deer's moving at. Because in May, it's usually warm. So they're going to be in their home range right there where it's warm. And I just move around until I find one that I want to hunt, and then I work real hard on learning his every move. I use a lot of cameras. I mean, I think I hung 8 cameras on the deer I killed just to try to figure out of a morning, of an evening, of an afternoon, wherever he moved, I wanted a picture of him at some certain time.
Yeah.
And that's just, and then I just zone in on where I think I can get him in the daylight. And in the last 3 years, it's worked out.
Well, you know, all y'all is listening right now. I mean, if you've listened to any of these other podcasts, you're going to hear there's some basic steps to killing these early season bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just listened to John. You know, we've listened to Cody, myself, all these other guys have been on the podcast. And they all use pretty much the same. There's just some basic steps to getting.
The first thing, in my opinion, is you got to get off the couch.
Yeah, you got to get.
I mean, you can't find him on the couch, and you know you wait so long. Then, I mean, you know, I think if you find him early, then he's going to get more comfortable with you being around.
Yeah.
So get him early. You get on him as quick as you can, and start working hard. The biggest thing is hard work. Get off the couch.
And for that early season buck, like you was talking about, the minerals are so important because you have to locate that. I mean,
that's right.
You know. I didn't see any 170 inches bucks this year, so I wasn't chasing any 170 inch bucks. I knew what I was, you know, or what I had, and So I knew I was chasing, like you said, early season. And you have, what, probably 2 weeks, really?
Well, you know, honestly, I preached to Kyle. I don't think, which the biggest difference is acorns.
We were talking about early season.
Yeah, I mean, but acorns, if the acorns fall early, then our early season ends quick.
Sure.
As if there's no nuts, I think as long as it's warm, you know, they'll stay because they start that winter coat and they don't want to get up and move. Mm-hmm. This year where I hunted, we had no nuts. I mean, there was no nuts. So they stayed a little longer, you know. Last year was the same way, which we had a mass of nuts, but now his home range didn't have a whole lot of nuts. Mm-hmm. So he stayed in summer pattern a little longer. I just think it just depends. I think a lot of it depends on weather.
Yeah.
You know, if it's hot, they're not going to move like they do in the fall. Once it starts to cool down, though, watch out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're coming out. I mean, they're coming out quick because they're gonna widen their home range and start working.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would say a two-week. I mean, you know, that's pretty
just good. As average, probably.
Yeah, just average. You know, one year it may be three, and the next year, like next year, we're going to have a tough one.
Yeah.
Season opens on 7th.
So
it's going to be short.
It's going to be a short one, you know.
Yeah.
So if y'all's planning on coming and trying this next year, early season Kentucky hunt, you just need to plan that first week. First week is critical. I mean, that's big time. It's like
I've killed out of my last three, I killed one on September 15th, and then I killed this year on September 13th.
Yeah.
So in that really the second week, you know, is when I've had my most luck so far.
Yeah.
But so hopefully if it stays true next year, I'll have a chance. If not, it's hunting. That's why I like it.
Sure, it's hunting. But just getting prepared and with the minerals, locating, all that stuff is so
exactly
important.
Right.
Now, somebody's walking in here. It might be Cody. Who knows who it is. But, John, you hunt Ohio much?
I did. I hunt out in the, really in a poor county here in Kentucky, eastern Kentucky. And I'm not going to name it, but I don't want to offend anyone. But a couple of years ago, I got tired of hunting out there because I might be hunting one or two deer.
Come on in, Cody.
Now I've kind of moved. So this year I plan on sliding over in Ohio. Yeah, I mean, I do. I've hunted there before. I know some public land to go to and whatnot. But this year I'm definitely going to be in Ohio.
Well, I figure you and Kyle might slip over. Hey, Cody, here's in our chair. And if you want to pull up here beside me. Yeah, Cody just got here, so he jump in. It's in that
closet
right there in that room.
I don't put a whole lot of homework in Ohio. I spend the majority of my time with my job. You know, it's kind of demanding of my time. So I put all my work in. I put all my eggs in my Kentucky basket, and then I'll go over to Ohio and I'll use what I know as far as hunting the rut goes. You know, getting my positions and hopefully, you know, I get a shot. You know, if I don't, I don't. I'll have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
But I put most of my eggs in my Kentucky basket because that's what I have time for.
Right.
But now I do have a week of November the 3rd. I got week's vacation November 3rd to the 10th this year. So
that'll be pretty sweet then.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. It should be prime. I should get a good shot maybe.
Well, you know, I mentioned Kyle there, and I know you and Kyle worked pretty hard this year, early season. Talk a little bit about that buck you took. I know he's a dandy. 150 something inches, wasn't he?
Yeah, I haven't tight taped him yet. I roughed him out. He was right around 154. You know, just I should get another inch or two off of him when I put the right tape on him.
Yeah.
He was a basic 10 with two extra points on his left main beam. So he was a 12. And Kyle invited me, you know, to hunt a new piece of land I'd never been on. And they wanted me to food plot it, you know, wanted to help them with food plots. So I volunteered, you know, I would do the work if they'd let me hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, first time I laid eyes on him, I was bush hogging. I was cutting the food plot. And he come out and he watched me for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And I knew then that I had a pretty decent deer looking at me.
Yeah.
So I hadn't really got zoned in on where I was going to go, but when I saw him, it grabbed my attention. Mm-hmm. So I zoned in on the area he came from, and I went in there and put minerals out and the camera, and it didn't take – the first time I checked it, I think I waited 2 days just to see if I needed to move quick. But I got pictures of him right off the bat, and I knew then. I thought, well, right here's where I'm going to start from. So I started working that area in a drain. He was living inside a drain, and using it for access. Well, I got the food plot all done. I hung, like I said, 8 cameras around where I knew he was going to eventually move. I got pictures of him on all 8 cameras, and I got a lot of daytime pictures of him. And I kept up with him on a regular basis, and I finally moved my cell phone camera in there so I could quit going in. And yeah. When it got closer to season, and I moved my cell phone camera in, and he would daylight about every 3 days. About every 3 days he would come in the daylight, but on that camera. Right before season come in, I had him of a morning on one camera every day, and of an evening I had him on a different camera. So I had 2 options.
Mm-hmm.
And with work, I got busy, and with life, family, and work, I got my stands in late, but I didn't. I knew that I was okay. Mm-hmm. I got my stands hung, and I actually set a blind and brushed it in tight, and kept getting pictures of him. And season finally popped in. I was ready. I knew he was close. It was just going to be time in the stand. That's all I needed.
Yeah.
And honestly, I went in at 4:00 opening morning because he was coming in right at daylight. So I actually got in my stand at 4 a.m. and I just sat there in the dark and
swatting mosquitoes.
Oh no, that Thermacell, baby. Yeah. Thermacell is a lifesaver early season.
I always have that Thermacell going.
Me too. I bought a box of, what is that, like 12, like what's like 4 like containers, but 12 of those little wicks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I almost went through the whole thing in 11 days.
Yeah.
I was like, but I hunted him in the rain. And anyways, first day I got in stand and I really started seeing a lot of deer early. And opening evening at 7:15, I watched him come up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he come up with a big 8-point that he'd been living with. And the 8-point blocked him from being shot opening evening. Mm-hmm. He stood right in front of him the whole time. I could not do nothing. So I watched him walk off. I just had to. I didn't try to force anything. I left it be. I thought, it's the first day. I'll be okay. And he disappeared. He disappeared for the next few days. And I kind of learned once they shed their velvet, they do that. When it's the night or not, the couple nights around their velvet shed, is they usually disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed on him, and he come in the middle of the night there a couple of times. Of course, my camera told me, you wake up, ain't nothing sweeter waking up to a cell phone camera.
Oh, yeah.
But
I couldn't sleep five.
No, I couldn't either. I'm going to have to get one, though.
Oh, man. It's
just so you can stay out there. Like mm-hmm. you say, you don't have to stink it up near as much.
Yeah. But the Big 8, I saw him on 2 other occasions. He come in, and I from the first experience, I thought, man, this big one's coming right behind him. We never did. I passed him up on 2 other occasions. One of them, he was with me for 29 minutes. I sat there and watched that big dude walk around for 29 minutes before I let him walk off. But I knew the big one was in there, and there was no way. Kyle was like, man, you got it. I was like, dude, I'll eat my tag before I kill that 8-point. Because I don't really, I want the big one. I want the big one he lives with. But on November 13th, I quit hunting of a morning because he disappeared of a morning. So I thought, why even go in there and stink it up? But I went in November 13th of that evening, and I got settled in early, and got a lot of action quick. Had a little buck come in. So I knew they were going to start moving, and I have the biggest doe I ever seen in my life that came in that area regular, and she had one fawn, but she was as big as any 3-year-old buck I had. She was a giant.
Yeah.
And the days that he came in, she was there. It's like, he used her to, of course that's probably just coincidence, but if it was me, I would use the smartest doe in the woods to shed myself too. But I had a little 8-point come in, And the big eight, I watched him come up the hill. And he got up close. I don't know, he was probably 30 yards out. And he looked over his shoulder. Well, you know, when you have a 140-inch deer look over his shoulder, there's probably something bigger coming behind
him. Yeah.
And when he looked over his shoulder, I thought, here he comes. Mm-hmm. So I just retch over. I never filmed in my life. And Kyle and Nick have begged me to film all year.
Yeah, they talked to me all about it.
So they provided, Kyle provided the camera and the camera arm, and Nick provided the fluid head. And anyways, I caught a glimpse of him, so I just retch over and turned the camera on. That way I could just leave it alone. I didn't care. And I went ahead and got my bow out of the tree, and he milled around for 9 minutes. I watched him for 9 minutes before I got the shot off. He run that 8-point off. I needed that 8-point to swing around to his other side. That way I could get him to turn.
Yeah.
And that 8-point finally swung around to his side, and he went after him and started to run him off. And when he turned back around, he gave me the shot I needed. And I let her go, buddy. I mean, the good thing is he was there for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, because it actually calmed me down. I was tore up when it.
That's that split second when you have no control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I focused when I drew. I knew he was 30 yards out. As I do that. When I get in the stand, I take my rangefinder and I range different things all around me.
Mm-hmm.
That way, I know in my mind that deer's. You know, that way I don't have to do it. You know, when you're hunting mature deer, you know, you all know.
Yeah, you if I can't, hadn't done that,
yeah.
I probably wouldn't have been able to shoot my deer.
I mean, you can't let a mature deer come in and think you're going to get a rangefinder out and have them all around, you know. So I ranged everything first. I had four marks, and he was at the back one. My mark was actually 29 yards, and he was just on the other side of it. So I knew he was 30 yards.
Yeah.
But when I drew, I finally got the 8-point to turn around, so he wasn't watching me. And the little eight was actually between me and the big deer I killed. But I got drawn, and I just focused, anchor, nose. And I lined my peep up with my housing, you know, and I focused solely on my 30-yard pin. I didn't even look at the other ones. And I laid it where I wanted it, and the rest is history, brother. He's on the ground, and... He's going to the taxiderm tomorrow.
Going to the wall, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats. He's a dandy buck.
I appreciate it.
150 plus.
Yeah, I figure he'll go right around 155.
Yeah. Good times. Good times with your friends and all that. Hey, you know, you mentioned something about just going over your anchor and stuff. You know, I know you're around the bow shop out at Junie's lot. And just some basic things people could do that would help them in the tree stand or shooting out of the blind and stuff like that. You know, that's something I do when I'm out here shooting, just shooting in the backyard. I'm thinking about my anchor.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, me, I put my knuckle right here with that release I use, and then I hit my nose in a certain spot, and I think about that every time, and I think it's something you should really
pay attention to. I actually use a kisser button, but if you look at my kisser button, you would never know it was a kisser button. It is so micro tiny. It's just like a little rubber bumper that I cut in half and piece on there and tie on.
Yeah.
It's really tiny. It's not your normal big, fat kisser button. But another thing that I do is I position my tree stand where I shoot sitting down.
Yeah, I know Kyle.
I don't like to stand up because then you get weak in the knees. You know, you start that shake.
See, I gotta stand.
I shoot my last three deer. I've shot all three of them sitting down. I try to position my stand that way so I can set and shoot.
But I'm sure that's something you practice.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty big on Twitter as far as talking to people and stuff, and I posted that little video of my actual shot on Twitter, and a lot of people questioned me because he was quartering hard.
I never got to see
it.
I'm on Twitter, but I haven't been on it for a while.
It's just 7 seconds.
Well, yeah, it's all right. It's a shot. You've shot the little.
But he was quartering hard.
Oh, yeah, you showed me that. Yeah, you sent it to me.
Yeah, he was quartering hard.
I thought it looked good.
And I hit him. I hit him absolutely great.
I would take that.
Now see, I'm to the right of him. His camera's to my left.
Oh, so
it's a little steeper for me.
Okay.
We're watching the footage right here.
Yeah, you smart.
Yeah,
right behind the ribs.
I hit him right in front of the left front hip.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, automatically I'm going to get guts because he was still.
Well, that corner,
yeah. And I shoot that big famous rage that you don't like. I shoot the hypodermic. He kept my arrow because I shot completely through his body almost. I knew he kept my arrow quick. I didn't get no blood quick because, I didn't punch a hole in his front. And what happened was is when I hit him perfect. Because when I was taught, and same as you probably were, now your younger generation might not be taught the same thing, but I aim at the opposite shoulder. I aimed at his front right shoulder.
Yeah.
That would take me through everything
That's
I needed.
That's what I did.
And I buried that rage inside that shoulder blade.
It's over.
So, anyways, I was a little worried because I didn't like the fact that I didn't have my arrow.
Yeah.
You know, to tell me what I needed to know. But being the first time I ever filmed, it was neat. That was the greatest thing I'd ever
seen.
That
was the best part right there. You look at shot.
So, anyways, I text Kyle. I called my wife first, and she didn't answer. So, I called Kyle, and he didn't answer. And I text him. I finally called him back, and I was like, dude, I just smoked the big 12.
And, what'd you call him? What'd you name
him? I didn't really name him, but Nick gave me so much grief about all this stuff, passing up does and all this. I told him I was going to name him Nick McSwarper.
Oh, so that was Nick McSwarper.
That's awesome.
And the other one he had named, yeah, it was Big John. I'll call him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that wasn't him though. But he's still walking. That's that one that's going to be a boner for me, obviously.
Yeah, I believe he will.
But
he's. He's got some long time.
Yeah, that ain't all long, brother. But anyways, I backed out. I told Kyle I needed his laptop. I could watch the film on camera, but I couldn't. I mean, you know, I just basically saw what you saw. I knew I hit him. I knew I was 99% sure I'd hit him perfect. And anyways, I backed out, and I had Kyle bring me his laptop. I met him out at the truck. And we reviewed the film in slow motion, and I knew then he was smoked.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of time before I went back up on the hill, and I started looking.
Blood trail was probably a little tough.
There was no blood trail.
Yeah.
Because.
That's the thing about.
But I didn't punch a hole in his front end.
Yeah. See, we talked about shot placement.
Yeah. If I would, I mean, I hit him as perfect as you can. If I would have hit him 1 inch to the left, I would have put it in front of his shoulder, and he would have bled everywhere.
Yeah.
But
so it didn't pass through it.
No, it buried in. As a matter of fact, the butcher had to dig my broadhead out of his front shoulder.
Yeah,
I got my broadhead back, old boys. That's $15 right
there.
Yeah,
they are expensive. Is it tore up?
No, Dad said I could probably shoot it next year.
There you go.
I'll put new blades on it.
Kill John
Holt. But anyways, I backed out. Anyways, I went back up on the hill. My wife wanted to come and help to track, and so did my son. He's 11 and loves that stuff. So we waited a little bit for them to come up, and I couldn't take it no longer because I didn't know for sure how well I'd hit him, even with the video. I knew it looked great, but,
yeah.
I mean, you still can't guarantee anything. You know, if I would hit a rib and it deflected left, and, you know. So anyways, I went back in, and it was dark, and I shoot nocturnals. And Travis Hignott was with me, and he looked over the hill, and he seen that blue nocturnal glowing in the dark. And I walked to him, and there he laid. He still had the arrow in him, and the nocturnal was glowing bright.
Heck yeah, man!
So there was so much blood. And if I would have looked high as I walked, I would have found blood because he was blowing it out of his mouth and nose so heavy that. But, I mean, you know, in that moment, boys, it's hard to think of everything.
Yeah, that adrenaline flowing and all that emotion.
Oh, yeah, I called Nick and told him I'd shot Hoss, and, like, I was trying to, like, I couldn't even play the hunt back. Like,
That happened to me last year. That happened
to me. Killed a stud last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I killed Booner last year.
Booner last year,
178 inches.
That's a dandy right there.
Yeah. But when I shot that one. Yeah, September 29th.
Okay, see September, boys. Yeah.
But the reason I killed him September 29th.
Lord.
The reason I killed him September 29th, though, is somebody tried poaching.
Yeah, I heard that
somebody
story.
Actually shot him with a rifle in his front shoulder, and he disappeared for 2 weeks to heal himself.
With a small caliber rifle or something?
Yeah, small caliber rifle. It cost me his cape. It's because where he had that fungus or rot.
Oh, gangrene and, or something?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was but somebody tried to poach him, and luckily I got the chance at him, but that's, I mean.
He probably would have eventually died that year.
Yeah, probably. I blacked out on that one, but on this one, I remembered everything. I knew exactly where he ran, everything. But like Cody said, man, dude, sometimes you just blank. I mean, it's like, whoa.
That's why we hunt, ain't it?
Yeah. That's
all that emotion.
That's why I do it, man. But I told Kyle, I was like, man, you need to get down. You need to bring me that film. I was like, dude, I can't get up. Yeah. I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to throw up out of my tree stand right here because, I mean, you know, you get that adrenaline high. And then after you shoot it, and then you sit there for just a minute, all that thing just drops on you. It's like, blah. I mean, you know, but it all worked out, and I mean, I'm tickled to death.
Heck yeah, man. Well, John, when'd you kill your first deer? Like I said, you're about my age.
Golly, I killed a button buck, my very first deer. I think I was 13.
Your dad get you into it, or?
Yeah, my dad, he's always hunted. He never trophy hunted. Mm-hmm. He's never killed a big deer. He's a meat hunter.
There wasn't a lot of trophies back then.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, you know, he just didn't wait. You know, he killed for meat.
Yeah.
And he would kill one, and back then I think we was allowed 2 bucks.
Was we? I don't know.
Which, I mean, I was just a kid. Dad, I remember dad killing 2 bucks at 1 year. But dad's never killed a big deer. And my addiction actually started. I killed my first deer. Let's see here. I was 12. Let's see here. And then I killed a 3-point whenever I was.
I think everybody's killed an old 3-point.
I killed a 3-point when I was 13 or 14. But I killed my first big buck when I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I actually got lucky. That was the first year, if you remember back, that we were allowed to take a doe. On a Monday, mm-hmm. and my dad let me skip school, and I went in to kill a doe, and a perfect 10 stepped out in front of me, and I killed it 7 yards with a rifle, and that got me addicted. From the minute I killed him, I was addicted on big deer,
uh-huh.
and I've killed. I haven't killed. I've passed up a lot of deer because I've set my standard around 140.
Yeah.
But come to find out, 140 is pretty tough. I mean, you know, and yeah. Like I said, the county I hunt in, a lot of poaching goes on. And,
is it still pretty bad?
Yeah.
And you see?
Yeah.
Back in the area where I hunt, I mean, I'm sure it is, but you can tell when someone's hitting those spots
mm-hmm.
because they'll wipe the deer out.
Yeah,
and I don't understand. You know,
the easiest way I found to tell, man, is, you know, like... I do a lot of work at the farm, but like if I'm deep down in a holler, like a doe, even a doe or a small buck will let me ride my four wheeler within 20 yards of her.
Mm-hmm.
You get up on the ridge,
they're gone.
Hey, but they see you and they're gone.
Yeah.
So that tells you right there that they know that there's danger on that four wheeler.
Well, there's some places over in Ohio and you probably go over with Kyle. You probably have looking at the fields and stuff. And we've always done our little velvet patrol. Going over through there and deer. Well, Nick Basil's here. He knows these spots, but you could usually watch the deer. Well, the last time I went over there, you would come up on them deer and they just take off running.
Yeah,
that's
like, golly,
I was like, what the heck's going on? And then we end up talking to the park rangers and stuff out in that area, and he's like, listen, we've been having some trouble with poachers out here.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
them deer they've been shot at
animals,
a couple times and. Even in their southern pattern, they ain't stupid. They're coming out of there.
A lot of people think they're stupid because they'll stand in front of a car or a train or whatever, you know. But you take your shoes off and get out of your element, and you're going to stand still too because it hurts your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when they're standing on raw hard rock or on blacktop, them slick hoofs, man, they just stands that. They just what they know to do, and they're blinded. They can see at night. I can't see crap at night. So when you put a headlight on them, they just stand there. So they're not stupid animals.
Right.
I mean, they learn.
No, go grab a bow and go hunt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, if you think they're stupid.
They're not stupid at all.
Especially the big old mature doe, With a fawn.
I'm telling you right now.
If you think you're hidden in the woods.
It scares me to death early season when I'm hunting a good buck. Mm-hmm. It scares me to death to know I've got a mature doe with fawns.
Oh, yeah.
In there because I'm like, gosh.
She'll bust you, won't she?
Yeah. She'll drill you every time.
I got a little brother. It's 24.
Especially when they got fawns.
And he got into bow hunting there when he was younger. He don't hunt anymore, but he was just bragging. Oh, man, this ain't hard. I said, I tell you what. I said, do me one favor. I said, get in your tree stand. I said, the first mature doe walks by, stand up, draw on her. I said, just see how good you are, you know. And I said, you don't have to shoot, you know, don't shoot her. I mean, and he told me that evening. He said, I couldn't stand up. Yeah. He said, she picked me out before I even got my bow off a hanger.
I'm on mature does. They're smart. He's on mature bucks.
I was playing in Ohio one year, and it was the last day I was hunting for the year. And I hunted that same old tree all season and seen some nice bucks. Never could get a shot. Seen several, you know, young bucks cruising during the rut through and stuff. Never been busted or picked out of that stand. The last day I was going over to hunt, I'm sitting in a stand. Here comes a doe straight up the hill with a – she had a young one. It wasn't a fawn that time of year, but it was still kind of hanging there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She walked right up the hill. As soon as she gets to the top of the hill, she looks straight in the tree at me.
Yeah.
I'm like
– Yeah, how many times in your hunting career have you heard deer don't look up?
Yeah, they look up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, trust me. They look, hey, I seen a –
I ain't nobody been in a tree enough to say that.
I had a young buck.
I say deer don't look.
Yeah, they people.
Yeah, I'm hunting Southern Ohio.
I had a young buck in front of me, but you know, let's see here. I killed, like I said, I killed my deer on the 13th, so I don't know. It's probably around the 9th or something, and there was some kind of bird or something in a tree in front of me, and a young buck literally looked straight up at that because it didn't know what it was, and I mean. People say, oh, you get high enough, they can't see you.
Yeah, they'll pick you out in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one more thing I wanted to touch on before we get off here. You know, you was talking about one of your first bucks was a button buck and a 3-point, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, could you imagine nowadays, we were talking about trying to get more people in the outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if there's going to be hunting, we have to have people
that's exactly
out there.
Right. That's
the only thing that keeps it going is the money machine, like anything else. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
I know it. If they can get rid of it, they'll get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
John?
Yeah.
But you know, nowadays, if a kid or somebody posts a picture of a 3-pointer,
yeah,
you get that hunter shaming crap going on, and I think it's bull crap.
That's right. I mean, it is. It's
let people
it's
hunt
shame.
At their own pace. You know, just like we did. I killed 5-pointers, 4-pointers, 3-pointers.
It's
when I was
a shame
young.
That the hardest people on hunters
are hunters.
Are hunters. We have enough trouble with anti-hunters.
I'm just saying, when you was young,
oh, yeah.
And you killed that, you was all excited.
Yeah.
But had you posted that back in at that, now you don't give a crap.
Yeah.
But back in, you do.
Yeah.
You know, when you're with these kids, they care. So people need to watch out because we want these kids hunting.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
But these, you know, I didn't come out shooting Boone and Crockett.
That's exactly
Pope
right.
Youngs when I was
you
14
know,
years
and,
old.
And that's what I said. You know, I would say that 75% of hunters that enter the woods have no idea what a 115th deer looks like.
Yeah. It does.
You know, so back off, people. You know, I mean, let people hunt. It's their tag. They bought the tag. They spent the time. They're the ones going to have to drag it out of the woods.
It's going to take us all to keep this train rolling.
It's
just supporting each other.
I was talking today to people that on a legit 125 class deer will call it. They'll call it a 140.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's all right to get excited like that. But
oh, it
it's
is,
just,
you know.
The point of shaming
other
hunters, you know, that shoot smaller bucks or something like that.
As long as they're doing it legally.
Yeah.
That's
ethically,
right. That's
pat them on the back.
Congratulate
them.
The only thing that aggravates me, I think, the most is, I like hunting mature deer. I mean, I don't kill does.
Yeah.
I've killed
5
of my
whole life.
I think
everybody in this room does.
Yeah. You know. I think what aggravates me more than anything is when you have a man or a boy or whoever, woman, I don't care who it is, that doesn't put the time in to do it ethically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I shot 5 deer this year. I found 5 but one.
Well, Mark Elkins was in here talking about that the other day.
You know, that man.
Or Alan Grubb.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's something that hurts my feelings because I respect the animal and I do. I mean, diligently. I don't want to be out there in 100-degree weather shooting my bow, but I know when the time comes, I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
You know, so I want the deer to die as quick as it can. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. It breaks my heart. I mean, honestly, to hear one after you went, you know, I mean, yeah. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's what hurts my. I don't care if you kill a fawn. I don't care if you kill a 200-inch buck. If you will just do your work and make it painless on that deer.
Yeah, you owe it to the animal.
You owe it to the animal.
I've taught my boys, both my boys.
I mean, that's the way it should be.
And my daughter, she wants to go hunting, so she's going to start practicing. And, and with the crossbow, and the first thing I told her is, and she's 20 now. She's just wanting to start, which is good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I said, you know, you're going to be taking a life and a spirit. And I said,
that's
you know, I love and respect these animals, and you got to do it right.
I mean, you know, and that's what we owe it to understand it. I mean, it. And Kyle got to see it firsthand, you know, because he was with me on recovery. But honestly, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. It breaks my heart to know that I beat that deer in his own game. But I took his life, and he had no idea that I was even there.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, that's our goal, obviously.
That's our goal.
But, and so I try to do 100%. I try to make it quick as I can. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to suffer. I don't want him to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, when I shot that deer this year, he tucked his butt. A bee stung him is all he knows.
Yeah.
And the next thing he knows, he was a walking corpse.
Yeah, he's going to sleep, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what it's supposed to be.
You know, so that's the only thing that I would ever downgrade another hunter for is, you know, if you just can't do it ethically, don't do it. I mean.
Yeah. Get out there and work for it.
Work hard at it. Work I mean, get, and I know everybody. We everybody in this room. You know, hunting. You make a bad shot from time to time. But
yeah,
it's the people who do it.
We said you're gonna make a bad shot.
That's exactly.
Just
right.
You don't have to take a bad shot.
But I mean, you know, it's if you do it year in, year out, 3 or 4 times a year, obviously. You're not doing something.
Well,
right.
Some people just don't have the respect for the animals,
yeah.
And that's just bottom line. You're going to have that.
I mean, everybody's going. I mean, I have, you know, the deer I killed 2 years ago. He ran 125 yards, but I actually livered him. I mean, you know, I barely clipped one lung. But you know, he died decently quick, but not like I want. I want him. To just basically bed down right there and just go to sleep.
There's another thing, which I seen it on, might have been Cody's post or something, where he shared your picture and someone said something about the tongue. And I don't think that guy meant nothing.
No.
I
mean, yeah.
But I do want to clear something up. You know, when I take a picture of my deer, and I've had some, as soon as I grab a hold of it, I start taking pictures and I've left the tongue out of it.
Yeah.
But the reason that us hunters stuff that tongue back in there and clean that up is not – because we're worried about pissing somebody off. It's out of respect for that deer.
Yeah.
It's not because we're worried about PETA or someone else getting mad.
That's exactly
the reason
right.
We clean those deer up and stick that tongue in there and stuff like that is out of respect of the deer. And that's what
I
do.
That's
right?
I mean, I totally respect every.
It's not because I'm worried about pissing somebody
that's
off.
That's right.
I could care less about what somebody else thinks. I
wonder how big a giraffe tongue is.
I mean, well, I'm going to find out. I may stick that one out. Straight out.
Yeah, I mean,
that, try that sucker.
Because you know that thing eats that, you know.
No,
I bet that
John, don't even get me started on that. I've been over here being good and quiet. We're going to blow this mic up just like I did last time.
Yeah.
Would you take a draft?
Honestly, myself, no.
If you could afford it.
Because of the fact that I just don't have, I mean, I've got no desire to hunt in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if a giraffe would roam in Boyd County, yeah, you know. But I just have no desire to go over there and hunt a lion.
Hey, I'll tell you
a
something.
Cheetah, anything like that. It's not. But people do. People want it, you know. And my feeling about it is it does so much good for the community of those African countries.
Sure it does.
I mean, you know, people don't understand that.
No.
They want to be blind to it. But, you know, like a giraffe, I don't know what a giraffe weighs. You know, it was weigh 3,000 pounds.
I was just at the zoo, but I can't remember what they
you
said.
Know, but, I mean, you know, think of, I mean, you know, you're talking about an African country that those people, they don't get food.
No.
You know, so they have a delicacy. They have a giraffe to eat on for who knows how long.
And a lot of that money from those hunts go to their,
that's right,
their health care and schooling and everything. Right. We've talked about that before on here, but.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But,
I would have to have some giraffe tenderloins.
Yeah.
Did you kill that buck on John?
Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it was the 13th.
Uh-oh. You're going to the moon god. Hey, y'all, we're looking at, we have a moon god 12? Giveaway going on.
Is it, was it the 12th?
Sound yeah, like Wednesday. A car salesman now, Nick.
Thursday.
It's not supposed to be like that.
I may have lied to you.
Slowly going that way.
I may have lied to you. Yeah, I killed him on Wednesday.
Did you?
Yeah. So it was the 12th, not the 13th. Yeah.
The PM hunt was the best.
Yeah. Well, does it say a sign? Does it say a time?
3:46 was peak movement.
I killed him at 6:45.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know the funny thing is the big buck, the booner I killed last year, I killed him at 6:45.
Yeah. And I think Kyle killed his
about 6:45
last two, 6:40 something.
Yeah.
In that spot. Hey, did you see today? I seen so we've been talking about bears, and I seen we do have a bear hunt in Greenup this year.
Yeah. All our local counties have it.
Yeah, a bear hunt in December for 1 week, I think. It's a muzzleloader bear hunt.
You're the only thing you're not allowed to do.
I haven't read much on it.
I think it's a quarter hunt once they reach so many bears.
Like we're in a shoot.
The only thing I know you're not allowed to do is bait them.
So, see, I was going to ask about that. So you're not allowed
to do that. That's how they hunt them in Canada, because a bear's a scavenger.
Yeah.
You can't pattern a bear. A bear don't have a pattern.
But I think that in December, I think that actually the season comes in earlier than that, if you would see one.
We're in zone three.
I read that up.
You're zone two. You got more of a bear. You got more.
I got a bear on camera last summer in the house, but I'd see it one picture.
See, you have more seasons down there.
What that is you have a male, a two-year-old male leaves home at 2 years old. And the real reason I know this is because when I got my first bear picture, where I worked for the railroad, I go up to West Virginia. Well, those guys are bear people. You know, they know. But they told me that a boar will leave home at 2 years old. And he's traveling. That's why you're getting these one pictures. That's why you see that. Remember that one a couple years ago that everybody seen it started like up in Ashland and ended up down in Greenup, blah, blah. Because he's looking for a home. Well,
they travel big time.
Yeah, they do. But the only reason, like I said, I know that is because I'm not a bear person, but is the people from West Virginia told me that's the way a boar does. At 2 years old, they leave home.
Well, John, we better get off here before this thing blows up.
Yeah.
Congrats on your buck, man.
Well, I appreciate it, buddy.
And good luck.
Congrats to you, too, buddy. You too, Cody.
I appreciate it. We'll see y'all over in Ohio. You're going to Ohio, like you said.
So yeah. I'm going to cheat over there, Rob. I bought me a Raven.
A Raven?
Yeah, crossbow.
Well, heck. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I can't wait. 406 feet a second out of the
box.
Let
her fly.
I'm going to pour mothballs around the street.
If you can find him. Hey, y'all. For John Workman, Cody Cornwell, it's Rob Marchand. We'll see y'all later.